Bernard, Parsons, Devon, Thompson, Ian Dowlett. It's really a bit of a shocker. Yissey Poulsen was a mainstay this year for 4 or 5 years before, unfortunately, before he moved to L.A. and before he had to go to different rehab centers and then eventually back here. In fact, most of my Sheerum from 2008 to 2010, you might question who exactly is the Magid Sheer, because his voice is probably heard on the MP3s a little bit more than mine are. Yakov's nodding his head. You remember it, right? Yeah. I mean, there wasn't much that I was able to get out before he would start arguing with me. So if you listen to some of the Sheerim from those times, it's quite unusual to not hear him speaking during those MP3s. So I would assume that what we're going to do for the next year, while he's, you know, while we're still in the 12 months of Avela, so I would assume that we're just going to dedicate this year to him. The name is, and I always forget it, it's Yaakov, Yisrael Yaakov Ben Yehuda Yosef David. That makes sense. Ben Rabbi Yosef David. So that should be So we're going to try to dedicate to him. Now, we've got a lot to talk about in this week's Parsha. Specifically, Pasuk Lamed Zayin is going to be the big one. Gam bihi sanat Hashem biglalchem lemor gam ata lo sof osham. This is going throughout the Meraglim. Listen, Devarim is one of the weirdest Parshios in the world, because really, it's repetition of everything. There's three prakim altogether. It starts off with Moshe Rabbeinu saying Musar Beremez, and not telling them exactly what he wants to say, and then all of a sudden going into Musar hardcore, like, man, you guys messed up. Meaning everything that Rashi says in the beginning of Musar being Beremez sort of gets thrown out as soon as you go 25 psukim into the Parsha, and it's all gone. He talks about the Dayanim, he talks about the Meraglim, then he goes on about how they had to go around Edom, they had to go around Moab, they had to go around Ammon, then they fought against Sichon, then they fought against Og, and then they took over the land, and that was that, and that's the end of Parsha's Devarim. Really, there isn't much that's new, but together with that, there's always something new. I mean, whenever you're getting something out of here, there's always going to be something big over here. Now, our first question is like this. After the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Gambi, also me, he said, Nach Hashem biglochem, God got angry at me because of you, Lamor, and he said to me, Gam ata lo sof osham. You aren't going to come here. You're not going to come into Eretz Yisrael because of them. Now, that's because of the Meraglim. Now, it's a silly thing to say. We all know why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed into Eretz Yisrael. Mei Meriba, right? He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. That's clear as day. The Pasuk says it straight out 3 different times that it's because of Mei Meriba. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that that was the reason why. There's nowhere where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael because of the Meraglim, except for here. This is the only place. Aside from that, the wording is so strange. Gam bi yisanaf Hashem biglalchem. Also me, I got affected because of you. Meaning, all because of you, something happened to me as well, and it wasn't just to him. And Lamor, which is always to tell over to somebody else. The Lamor is a strange thing. Gam ata lo sof osham, another gam, you also will not be able to come there. What's the pshat, and what are we trying to get it over here? What exactly are we trying to say? So there's so many different answers that I'm going to limit them to the ones that I have on this page over here. And I'm going to basically limit it to the well-known Tezri Rishonim Achronim, because there are some that are way out there that are going to get into some concepts that are a little bit beyond this. And we'll say some of those, but we're not going to give too much on that. The Ramban says this is talking about Mei Meriba. And when he's saying that I was told that I can't go in, he was really referring to all the problems that Bnei Yisrael had. Not only the issues that they had here with the Meraglim, but because you guys complained, and because I got angry, and because of what happened with Mei Meriba, everything is included, that because of everything you did to me, it eventually brought me to the point where I was held back from Eretz Yisrael. The later on sins that you did by saying, can you bring the water out of that rock? I want the water out of that rock. That sin eventually caused me to lose out, and it was all biglalchem. So the stress, says the Ramban, is on the word biglalchem. It's because of you. But it has nothing to do necessarily with the Meraglim. So why is it here, says the Ramban? Because we're mentioning all the sins that the Bnei Yisrael have done, so we're just adding on, and by the way, you also caused me not to go in there.
Well, it does have to do with the Meraglim, because they wouldn't have been there in the first place if it wasn't for the Meraglim.
So that already is an answer that's given. That's the Kli Yucker's second answer. The Kli Yucker's second answer, if you go a little bit further down, guys, right after the little space over there, the Meraglim spent another, because of the Meraglim, they spent another 39 years in the desert. Therefore, Miriam died. Therefore, the May Miriam stopped. Because of that, they lost water and they complained. Because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Therefore, because of all that, the Glaucon, that ended up being, my sin was only caused because you guys did something wrong. That's the Kliyakar's second answer. That's true. But it's not direct. And it's a little bit weird to be able to say that. 39 years later, right, my sin was because of you
who happened.
He's still
culpable for his own actions. And it's kind of wrong.
There's no question. Yeah, there's no question about that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason why Miriam died wasn't also for the sin of her was the same lesson, however, was that for the Lord also?
Tom Silver says that. Oh. It's not straight out in the passage.
Well, that according to Tom Silver, that sin had already been done before the Meravim. So if he was going to say, according to Kliyaka, the reason why is because of the 40 years, because of them, we were sitting for 40 years.
I understand what you're trying to say. The Tom Silver is strange. I understand what you're trying to say. The Tom Silver is strange. That means that she wasn't punished until 39 years later. That's a little bit strange, right?
Yeah.
So clearly it wasn't just because of that. There must have been other things to it. That's the way I'd answer that. But yeah. Good. All right, here we go. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Next answer that we're going to give over here, he does not like the Ramban's answer at all. He says, number one, these psukim are talking about the Meraglim. It's not talking about anybody else. And it's the reason we're putting everything together over here. Why would that be? So he brings another answer over here, and it's an amazing answer. The problem is where exactly it comes from. Sota Dachtes, it says that if David HaMelech or Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash, it never would have been destroyed. It never would have been touched by the other nations. Now, there's a little bit, I'm taking liberty with that Gemara over there. It's not exactly what the Gemara says, but I'm only doing that because the Orach Chaim seems to do that. So the Gemara in Sota does seem to say that it never would have been touched by the other nations, so that means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, instead of what it would have been, is taking his wrath out on the Beis HaMikdash. He wouldn't be able to do that because the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't have been able to have been destroyed if Moshe Rabbeinu had built it up. Therefore, instead, he took the wrath out on the people. He would have taken the wrath out on their people. So what basically happened was like this. Before the Meraglim, had the Jews gone to Eretz Yisrael, they would have had a cheskas kashrus, meaning you'd assume that they would have been fine. They wouldn't have sinned. They wouldn't have done anything wrong. And if they once in a while would have done something wrong, maybe a few people would have died, and that would have been it. But once they did the Meraglim, they already had a cheskas kashrus, where they had made a chazakah for themselves that they were going to do something wrong. If they then would go in with Moshe Rabbeinu, if Moshe Rabbeinu would take them in right then at that moment, that means he would have built a Beis HaMikdash that would have lasted forever. That Beis HaMikdash could not be destroyed. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at the people, there would be no choice but to kill all the people. There would be decimation among all the Jews, and all of them would have been killed instead of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed instead. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to save the Jews, allowed the Beis HaMikdash to not be built by Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather be built by somebody like Shlomo Melech, where it eventually could be destroyed, and Hashem would take his wrath out on the sticks and stones instead of the people themselves. That was the idea of how he understands it. There's a lot to talk about with this, but the basic idea is like this. There's a Mizmor Ayin Tes, Mizmor La'asaf, a song to Asaf, Elohim Bo Goyim B'Nachla Secha, Timo Asechal Kachecha. God, the nations have come into your Nachla, they've been Mitame, your holy Hechel. So it's not, the Gemara asked it elsewhere, but Tosos and Kiddushin and Adaf Lamed Gimel asks, I don't understand. Mizmor la'asaf, kina la'asaf mi boile. That's a lamentation. The Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed. How is Asaf singing this? How are you singing such a thing? I always had this question, by the way. I don't know if you've ever seen the Mizmorim that we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, if you ever looked at them in English. But if you ever look at the first Mizmor that we say with Lechunaran and all, if you look at the end of it, right, if you said it in English, so it basically would translate as this: for 40 years I was really angry at my generation, and I said it is a people that are silly and mess up their hearts all the time, and they don't ever know my ways. I swore in my anger they will never come to Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. You realize that's exactly what we're saying. You have no idea what you're saying.
Sounds better in Hebrew.
It does sound much better in Hebrew because you don't know what it's saying. I don't know how Israelis do it. Any Israeli that reads it has to be saying to themselves, what tune is this? It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. But the fact is, it does make sense. It is a mizmor, because instead of us dying one by one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that they would stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash thus would not have been made by them. Therefore, the Beis HaMikdash could be destroyed, and therefore the people won't be destroyed in the same way that there was like a Holocaust. There wouldn't be a Holocaust anymore because the Beis HaMikdash would take the place of that Holocaust. That's the concept. That's what would be there. Our Raya, the proof to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the Mishkan was never touched. Although the Mishkan was taken down, and although the Mishkan was not allowed allowed to be, you know, something that would, you know, that we were able to keep forever. Nonetheless, the Mishkan was never destroyed entirely. Even the Aron, when it was taken by the Plishtim, when the Aron went out to war, that Aron was returned and everything was gone. It was underneath the Beis HaMikdash. But the Mishkan, which was made by the Tzal on Moshe, it was never taken away. And that's the concept behind it, yeah.
I heard another answer is similar, but the reason you could go into the Shirul HaShem Shir HaKadosh is because you can always do teshuva and you can always bring yourself,
raise yourself up. That's like the happy-go-lucky answer. I like that. A little the PT answer. So really, what does that mean? That really means that the Chet HaMeraglim was exactly what necessitated Moshe Rabbeinu's death. When the Jews could not go to Eretz Yisrael, that meant that they had sinned to the point where they were going to have to die when they sin, when they get to Eretz Yisrael, which means Moshe Rabbeinu could not go in. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, because of you guys, because you have a Cheskas Paslus, I can't go in. And that's the reason why Hashem wouldn't let me go in. Now on that, the Kliyakar tries to expand a little bit. He says that May Meriva, the sin of May Meriva, was the Tikkun, if it had been done correctly. It's clear that B'nai Yisrael was on a sinning path, but it's been 39 years. Maybe this is a new generation. Maybe this generation could do well. Maybe this generation could go into Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu, and maybe this generation has a Cheskas Kashrus. Maybe this generation will be fine. It's a new generation. There was one test. The test was, do May Meriva. Make a massive Kiddush Hashem. Bring the Jews up to a certain level, and when they get to that level, maybe they'll never fail. Maybe everything will be okay. How do we know? Maybe it's going to be that way. Unbelievable. Perfect. So maybe it should be that way. How do we know? Maybe it should be done in a perfect way. That's the pshat, that's the Kliyakar. The Kliyakar says, Yan Lohem Mantem Bi, you didn't listen to me, you didn't believe in me, you didn't do it in the right way, therefore you didn't have the proper emunah, and I'm sorry, but there's no way for you to go through with this. Kliyakar says their whole sin was their lack of emunah. The miraculum is they didn't believe that God was going to be able to help them. So their lack of emunah was brought to the forefront right over here, where Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't talk to the rock and bring forth the water. I can only hit the rock and bring forth the water. That in and of itself was exactly what the issue was. No tikkun was made, and Yisrael couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. The Malbim has a huge piece. It's in six different places, the Malbim, until finally in this week's parsha, the Malbim says, I already told you like six times, stop it. That's what the Malbim says. So they'll say it to you in three lines, but go look in other places, because I have it all over the place. Malbim holds is very similar like Nadam and Abihu. There's no such thing as one sin that knocks a person out forever. It never happens. In other words, if a person gets kicked out of school, for example, and you say like, oh, the guy got kicked out of school for throwing his fork down on the floor. He didn't get kicked out of school for throwing his fork down on the floor. It's because he did 75 things before that, and the 76th thing was just the final straw. That was it. May Meriva was not the only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did that caused him to not go to Eretz Yisrael, says the Malbim. There was so much that led up to it, similar the Nadav and Abihu. It wasn't like Nadav and Abihu just all of a sudden walked into the Beis HaMikdash and brought a korban and were killed. It's because of what they did by Har Sinai. It's because of the Egel Adav. It's because of everything that led up to what happened when they went to the Kodesh HaKadosh, where they no longer had the Cheskas Kashrus that they had, and therefore they were gone. Says the Malbim, it's the same basic idea. There was a Gzar Din that went out on the generation, including Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Meraglim. There was a chance that they had an ability to knock out that Gzar Din had they done it in the proper way. They didn't. They didn't improve themselves by May Meriva, and therefore the Gzar Din became a Gzar Din with a Shvu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't take it back, there's nothing I can do. The Alshich goes into this, the Malbim explains it even further. There's a lot behind this, and I suggest you look it up, but that's the basic idea behind the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Kliyakar's first answer, and the Malbim. We already said the second answer of the Kliyakar. The Rush, the Chizkuni, and the Daz, the Kanim all say that the reason why is because he got angry. He got angry because of a continuation of what the Jews had been doing for 40 years. Finally, just hit its apex, the highest point that it could get to, and he just let it go. And by that time, everything went down, and that's the idea. This Sforno has a crazy answer. I don't really fully understand the Sforno. It's in the bottom of the page over here. Sforno's answer is that the punishment by the Meraglim was that the children of the Meraglim would be Lavaz. They would have to be degraded. Something bad was going to happen to them. Had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael with those children, they wouldn't have been Lavaz. They all would have been fine for the rest of their lives, and the children would have had everything good. Because Hashem wanted to accomplish the words of Tapchem Yu Lavaz. Tapchem Yu Lavaz, your children should be Lavaz. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could not go inside Eretz Yisrael. It was, so to speak, that May Meriva was just an excuse. But the real thing was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to accomplish the words that he had set out. Now, I'm going to give you the Ksav Sofer over here, and then we're going to end with this part and go into a different part entirely. But the Ksav Sofer says a totally different answer. If you remember, I mean, by Meimariva, there's like 150,000 answers that are given to why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael because of what he did. So the Rabbeinu Hananel is quoted by the Ramban. And the Ramban quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel that the reason why is because instead of saying, Yotzi Lachamayim, Hamin Hasela Hazeh, from this rock, Yotzi Lachamayim, God will give you water. Instead, he said, Notzi lachem mayim. Notzi means we will bring you out water. So what was the issue? The issue was that Moshe Rabbeinu attributed the greatness to himself and said, I'm the one who's doing everything. I'm the one, said Moshe Rabbeinu, that's going to give you everything. And that was the issue. That was the chait. That he had used a lashon of gaiva instead of attributing everything back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Ksav Sofer says, yeah.
Then he said notzi, meaning we did it, me, Hashem and I.
No, me and Aaron.
Oh,
we and me and Aaron. Okay. Yeah, but that either way, me and Hashem doesn't make any sense either. Anyway, the Ksav Sofer says it can't be. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't do that. You can't say that about Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden just messed up in his words. Remember, every word that Moshe Rabbeinu said was the word of God. He had the Shechina Medaber Mitol Grono, to the point where literally every word he said is Torah Shebichsav, not Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebalpeh is the people. Torah Shebichsav is the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be careful with his words. So why did he think that it was okay to say the word Notzi? So the Ksav Sofer says it brilliantly. It says like this. If you're getting up and you're speaking in, oh, this is going to be insulting no matter what I say, an area that is not as from as some other areas. Is that good? That help out a little bit? Now, use your own imagination and speak about it. An area where the people may not get you as well. Their emunah might not be as strong as the emunah of other people in other places, right? Let's call it that way. If you get up there and you speak to them, and you get up there and you say, you know, like something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a hand, and his hand is so powerful, and his hand will knock down the other nations. They could take you literally, and they could think to themselves, oh my gosh, he thinks that God is physical. He thinks that God really has physical attributes. To the point where, when I was giving a shiur earlier this year at Skokie Yeshiva, I was giving a shiur in Reb Tzedek HaKohen, and while we were talking, I brought out something about, wasn't you, don't worry, but I brought out something, I believe it was in your, you were there, but I brought out something and I said, and that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the Midah of Abba. And the guy said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have Midah of Abba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond physicality. I'm like, hello, 1 + 1 = 2. Like, I realized that, but you know, I kind of thought you guys were beyond that. And he's like, no, you'd be surprised how many people think that God is physical. I'm like, okay, thank you. But he wouldn't stop. And he kept going. And I was like, do you really think that I think that God is physical? And he looked at me and he's just like, well, I don't know. That's what it sounds like you're saying. I'm like, oh my gosh, honestly. Fine, yes, God is with me. He's right here. He's my buddy. His name is John. Like, oh, well, what in the world? Like, did you honestly think that? But he did. He thought that I was saying that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was a physical being just like any one of us, right? He was out there, like the South Park version of God. But that's basically what he thought it was. Like, that's what it would be. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I can't believe that you actually... But that's the way it was. As opposed to, if I'm speaking in another place where people's emunah are a little bit higher, then I could say something like that and people would be like, he doesn't mean it that way. He means it in the more esoteric, metaphoric type of way. You know, something that we don't fully understand, but it's something Lesaber owes, and you can say it in that way, right? Moshe Rabbeinu always assumed that he could say certain things to Klal Yisrael, they would understand it. Meaning, he would be able to say, Naseh Adam L'Tzalmeinu, we will make man in our image. And people will hear that and they'd be like, that makes sense. You know what? That makes sense. It doesn't mean literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu was discussing with the angels and saying, what do you guys think? And the angels are like, oh, I don't know. That's not what it's saying. It's clearly something that's a little bit deeper. So Moshe is saying the word Notzi Lechamayim to these people who he thought were on an unbelievably high level of Emunah and everything. Remember, Vayaminu Vashem of Moshe Abdo. These were people that believed in Moshe and Hashem. They believed in everything, that pure Emunah. To that, he said, I'm not going to have a problem saying the word Notzi. That's not going to be an issue by these guys. But he was wrong. And this is the idea, says the Ksav Sofer. He was wrong because of the Meraglim. Clearly, there was an issue of Amunah by Bnei Yisrael. There was an issue. If they didn't have an issue of Amunah, of any faith, then there wouldn't have been Meraglim. The spies would not have been listened to. They wouldn't have even sent spies in the first place. Because they lacked the proper Amunah, and they weren't on the level that Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that they were on, therefore, the Meraglim happened. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, so to speak, saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, Your mistake was by saying something that to these people was incorrect. Notzi lechamayim got a couple people thinking, hey, Moshe and Aaron's doing it. I thought God was doing it. A couple people thought that. And Moshe Rabbeinu can't use the excuse of, I thought they were better than this. Because you know they're not better than this because you saw the miraglin. So therefore, says the Pasuk, because Gambiz and Apashem Diglalkan, because of what you did by the miraglim, therefore God get angry at me at May Mariva. Why? Gamatolos of Hashem, you can't go there because you messed up in the wording that you used over there. You messed up in that wording and that's that. Now, it's funny because that's the Ksav Sofer. If you want to see this in a shortened version, the Panach Raza says it. It's a Risha in the Panach Raza. It's literally word for word what the Ksav Sofer says. It's just literally like put together just like that. And the Ksav Sofer just expands on it. But that really is right there. Now, the word Biglalchem is what we're going to concentrate on right now. What does that word Biglalchem mean? First, the Kliyakar. On the other page it said, the Kliyakar says Biglalchem comes from the word Galal. Galal means to go to the bathroom. Galal Rei. Biglalchem means because you guys sinned at Baal Peor, with Baal Peor, you went to the bathroom and you rubbed it all over the idol of Baal Peor. Therefore, I can't go into Eretz Yisrael as well. You know why? It's an amazing thing. Gemara in Sotah Dav Yud Gimel, right at the end of the first parak, says that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried right opposite Baal Peor. And that really is mentioned at the end of Zos HaBracha, that he's buried right opposite Baal Peor. So there's a crazy, I mean, it's not straight out. Tosa seems to quote it. The Bach brings it down. It's a really crazy little thing. But the reason why is because the Mekatrik, the accuser of Baal Peor, comes up every year and tries to accuse Bnei Yisrael and knock them down and get them killed. And once it tries to go up and it sees Moshe Rabbeinu opposite it, it goes right back down and it can't go up. It's not allowed to go up and accuse Bnei Yisrael. I don't fully know what that means. There's a couple Perushim that go into how the sin of Baal Peor even applies today and how it's still applicable and how Moshe Rabbeinu has to stop it even today. So I know we're not going to the bathroom on idols. Nonetheless, the lesson of Baal Peor still applies for us today. And Moshe Rabbeinu is knocking that down. But says the Kliyakar, Biglalchem, because of your excrement, because of your let's just say your doo-doo, right? Therefore, I am not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. I have to be buried outside of Baal Peor to keep knocking it down. And that's the Biglalchem. It's a cute little shot.
Wait, why does someone go into Eretz Yisrael? Why don't someone be buried in Eretz Yisrael?
That's true. Why wouldn't he just go inside itself? Yeah. Have a little bit of a caution with this. It's a good question. I'm going to give you three answers, but I'm not positive they're all correct. Technically, Moshe Rabbeinu did go to Eretz Yisrael. Yonis Menuzio, talking Yonis Menuzio on Parshas Bo, says that all Bnei Yisrael flew on eagle's wings to go bring the Korban Pesach in Eretz Yisrael and then came back to Mitzrayim. Technically, he went in. That's number one. Number two, Sihon and Og, their land, technically had the status of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning because they had captured it along with everybody else and there was everybody there, it was considered an expansion, and that's why it's allowed to have Ari Miklat. So technically, he was somewhat in Eretz Yisrael.
And the first promise of Bnei Yisrael, the border went all over the Euphrates. They're well within.
Originally within where it should have gone, was for sure going to be a part of Eretz Yisrael. The third answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, although you know he did see the land of Eretz Yisrael, even though he wasn't able to be in there.
That's all questions later, right? Or Hashem
chosen. Like I said, Moshe Rabbeinu sees Eretz Yisrael. So meaning all those three answers are technically answers to your question. But why specifically didn't he get to go in? Yeah. There's obviously other things behind it. Had he gone in, what he could have done and what he could have sworn. I know people use this as like an excuse, but like I like giving this as the example. The famous Gemara with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and the Malach HaMavis and Ksuvis, Daf Samach Dalet, right, when he swears that he's not going to leave Gan Eden, when he tells the Malach HaMavis is friends with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was a baller, so like he was friends with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, you know, he tells Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I want you to, you can say whatever you want for the end of your life. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, I want to see my spot in Gan Eden. Malach HaMavis said, sure, I'm going to show it to you. Again, it's physical, but whatever. And he takes the knife of the Malach HaMavis and he flies him up to the spot, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi kicks back and then jumps into Gan Eden and swears he's never going to leave. Right? And then they make him give the sword back because he had a crazy sword. So he gave the sword back to the Malach HaMavis, but he kept stayed inside. So what if Moshe Rabbeinu would have done that? What if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone to Eretz Yisrael and sworn, I'm never leaving? So then what's going to happen, right? What would be? I think that's part of the issue. I know that's an excuse. That's what they all use as like, see, you can't let Moshe Rabbeinu in. Look what he'll do. You have to say, sort of. Yeah, like Miriam is for the woman. It's similarly, yeah.
Moshe built the base of Beit
HaMikdash. That's what we said before. Right. That's the Orach Chaim.
So because of the sins of Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Not because of him, but because of Bnei Yisrael.
No, we said that. That was the Orach Chaim coverage. Yeah. It goes with it.
Miriam is for the woman. What's that time difference?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer that question. That's like a God question, you know? It's just like, why, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? I can't answer that. I can give you a little bit. So let's end this somewhat. The rush brings a muscle, and the muscle is that a servant girl was going by, and she was taking her bucket, and she was trying to get water out of a well. So I've never tried this, so I don't know how hard it is, but she dropped the bucket in the well. She's sitting there, and she's crying, oh my gosh, my master's going to beat me, so what am I going to do, etc., right? And then all of a sudden, a princess comes by, and the princess comes by with a golden bucket, and she takes the golden bucket and she drops it in the well. So the servant girl starts, you know, dancing and screaming and laughing and whatever it was, like everything happy, right? So the princess says, like, what are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing at me? And the servant girl says, I'm not laughing at you. Just somebody's going to come to take your bucket out of the well. Because your golden bucket, they're not going to leave in the bottom of the well. When they come by to grab your bucket, they're going to get my bucket as well. So I'm not going to lose it. We have to understand something. The Mesei Midbar is a machlokes if they have a chelek in Olam Haba. If they get Tchiyas HaMesim. It's a machlokes. Rabbi Akiva holds they don't. The Mesei Midbar do not get back up. They're dead forever and they're gone forever. Rabbi Eliezer is the one that argues, the Tanakama, who argues on Rabbi Akiva and says, no, they do get a chelek in Olam Haba. This is their guarantee. They're the servant girls, the Mesei Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu is the princess. Now that Moshe Rabbeinu dies outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Mesei Midbar were now happy. They said, oh, we weren't guaranteed that we were going to go to Eretz Yisrael in the future. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu is out here, he can't go into Eretz Yisrael without an entourage. So since he needs an entourage, it's clear to us that we're now going to go to Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar aren't arguing. Rabbi Akiva says the Mesei Midbar really shouldn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael and Tchiyas HaMesim or Olam Haba. They're not supposed to go in. They really should stay outside forever because on their level they never should have sinned that way. But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take them in. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be able to bring them back. So therefore Rabbi Eliezer is correct. At the end of the day, they are getting a chelek in Olam Haba. They are going to go back in. Everything's going to work out well and yay, it all works out in the best possible way and we're all happy and everything like that. That's really what the Malbim goes into a little bit and everything like that. The Chizkiyahu goes into a whole thing and he says this. He says, because of you guys, you have your death warrants. Therefore, I had to die in order to bring you guys back. Our last thing that we're going to go on to is, I mean, really, it goes into a different idea altogether. The Igret HaKala adds on. So the Sfatama says that this is all Musar, and it's saying that you went so far that your bad intentions reached me and that I was affected by it. Then, in other words, a person can be so bad that it can affect a tzaddik when you ask him a question. I just want you to think about that for a second. That when a person that's filled with tumah goes to a big rav to ask him a question, the rav can make a mistake because this guy that's asking the question is a fool. Foolish person. The foolish person, he has an ability to sort of like release his tumah on that guy and affect the great gadol or the great tzaddik that's around him, which is why great tzaddik and great gadol don't like looking or staring at those types of people. They don't want to be around it. It's possible that that's the idea behind Gambi Hisana, says David Akala. That however deep you want to go into it, somehow I was affected by being around you guys for so many years to the point where I made a mistake by Mei Meriva. The Meraglim was not just a sin of the Meraglim. It's that I was around you for so long, I became like you. I use this example all the time, but it's like a campus rabbi who ends up becoming just a campus guy. Right? I mean, you have to be very careful. If you're hanging out on campus with a bunch of people that are going to college, you can either be an unbelievable person that I cannot believe survived that, or you're just starting to party just like they are, and you don't understand what you're doing wrong. It can go one of those two different ways, and it's very, very dangerous. Look at me. I became more Skokie Shiva than anybody else, right? I've been around there for 6 years already. It's scary. That's what ends up happening. It turns you around just a little bit, and that's the concept of what could happen over here, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I can't go in anymore. I was too affected by you. I have no ability to be with you. So later, the last one is the Noam Elimelech. I can't say I fully understand this. I'm not going to fully understand this. I'm just going to tell you. Melech Milijinsk says that every leader of every generation has a nitzutz, a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu within them. Everybody has that. Every leader has that. And if so, the only way for that to happen was for Moshe Rabbeinu to die outside of Eretz Yisrael. I don't understand why. I don't get it. He just says, in Chiddush, that if he would have died in Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would never have been Nisgalgil ever again. He never would have been brought back. But since Moshe Rabbeinu died outside of Eretz Yisrael, therefore he was able to have Gilgulim within other people. The Chassam Sofer is the famous one. Rav Moshe Sofer held, Moshe Shriver was his real name, he held that he was a nitzus of Moshe Rabbeinu, and for that reason he held that since Moshe Rabbeinu received the 50th level of, you know, the 50th level Shar Nun when he died, so therefore when he comes back into people, he's with the Shar Nun. So therefore every Shavuos, every Simchas Torah, I'm sorry, the Chassam Sofer would give himself the 50th Aliyah, and it would be Chosin Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu dies. He specifically gave himself that Aliyah, but he didn't tell people. He's not like, guys, I'm Moshe, and here's what we're doing. He didn't say that. He told it over to his son, Rav Avram Sofer, the Ksav Sofer, and the Ksav Sofer wrote it down for us to know. It's down in the bottom of the drushes, that that's what he used to do, and he knew that the leaders of the generation have it, and thus he considered himself that on that level. So anybody who has that, do it. Get that 50th Aliyah, but that's there.
Could make sense, because if Moshe was going to Israel, he might have completed all the tikkunim.
Oh, that's what you're
saying. He's outside of Israel, he
still needs to build himself up. The famous, that's the famous idea. Well, there's so much more with the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov also claimed that there was Nitzutzes, and had he gone to Eretz Israel, he would have forced the Mashiach to come. That was the famous line, that had he gone to Eretz Israel with the Rashash and the Orachayim HaKadosh, that somehow they would have been able to cause everything to come. So, that would have been awesome. It would have been, I don't know, it'd be 350 years after that, 250 years after that, but unfortunately it didn't happen, and we don't have that now. So whoever it is, somebody else, the nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, all because he didn't finish up those tikkunim.